The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
I'm delighted to know that we're joined by Dr. Paddy Mallon, who is a consultant at St. Vincent's University Hospital in Dublin and Professor of Microbial Diseases at UCD. Paddy, thank you very much for taking the time. It must be a very busy and difficult time for you. Before I ask you about this issue of closing down borders, how are you getting on in St. Vincent's Hospital at present?
So we're still open. We're still managing our patients coming in, and we're still continuing to see, as are a lot of hospitals around Dublin, increasing numbers of people presenting with COVID infections, some of whom are quite seriously unwell.
When you say seriously unwell, can you describe for people how bad this particular illness can get for some people?
So in the most severe cases, what we're seeing are people presenting with what you call a viral pneumonia. So I'm sure your listeners are familiar with an ordinary run-of-the-mill pneumonia, which can itself be serious enough, which we usually treat very effectively with antibiotics. A viral pneumonia is a bit different than that. It can affect the whole lung, so both sides of the lungs. It causes a huge amount of inflammation in the lungs, so makes breathing very difficult for people. And it can progress very rapidly from just having a cough or shortness of breath through to needing high levels of oxygen and sometimes even ICU care within a matter of days. And we don't have, at present, we don't have an effective treatment for this other than to support that individual until their body's immune system is able to control the virus and get rid of it and the lungs are able to recover, and that can take some time.
And then if they are in the ICU, how invasive is the ventilator procedure? It's not just simply putting a face mask on, is it? Is there more to it than that?
So the ventilation usually involves people getting drugs to put them to sleep, and then a tube's inserted down into the lungs, and a machine takes over their breathing for them, so it delivers oxygen and helps to inflate and deflate the lungs for them on a regular basis. So it's a fairly... I wouldn't say it's a standard procedure, but the ventilation part of it is something that our intensive care units are very experienced with dealing with.
But is it difficult for the patient?
I think anyone who lands in intensive care units finds it a difficult experience, Matt. These are very severely unwell people.
Okay, now we want to ask you about the idea that perhaps the country's borders should be shut to prevent more of this virus entering the state. Why do you think that might be a good idea?
So firstly, I want to clarify that I'm not saying that the border should be shut. It's really what it said was that the border should be protected. And we've made a huge number of changes to our society over recent weeks to try and control the spread of this infection. And a huge amount of resources being allocated towards doing that. And I think that we're ahead of a lot of other countries in our efforts there. Now, we've got to wait and see how that pans out over the next couple of weeks. But the hope is that all of the efforts that people around the country have made will result in us seeing less numbers of people coming into hospital requiring ICU care. But what we also need to focus on is the fact that we're not isolated. We're living in a large world. We've got close neighbours that have very active COVID epidemics that at present are more severe than ours is, and that we may see their epidemics following a different path to ours. They may not have had successful measures. Their measures may not be as successful as ours, and their epidemics may go on a lot longer than our epidemics. So I think that there needs to be a discussion that if we can get through the next couple of weeks with an intact health service, what we do to protect those gains. And it makes sense that we start to look at ensuring that we protect the country from introduction of new infections, or that we find a way to manage any new infections that come into the country so that we don't get re-emergence of epidemics. And that's the sort of thing that countries in Asia like Korea are currently looking at. And these are the countries that we wish to copy in terms of the strategy that we're putting in place in Ireland.
And finally to you, Dr. Paddy Mallon of St. Vincent's University Hospital. We have a common land border with Northern Ireland, of course. Are you happy that they now have come into sync with our way of doing things, that there isn't going to be an increased threat by the fact of that, for initially at least, until last week, they were taking a different approach to managing this crisis?
I think it's something that needs continual discussion, and certainly I'm not in a position to tell Northern Ireland what it should or shouldn't be doing, and to tell our country as a whole what it should or shouldn't be doing. I think we need to support each other. But I think there needs to be a recognition that you could be, we're still not 100% aligned with each other. The restrictions that our country has put in place are similar to those that are put in place in Northern Ireland, but there are a lot of dissimilarities in the approach. So we're not 100% aligned. We need to watch how that evolves, and we need to work with each other, I think, to ensure that we that both sides of the border and the whole country in general is able to protect itself as we get through this crisis from further infections.
Thank you very much, Dr. Paddy Mallon, Professor of Microbial Diseases at UCD, consultant at St. Vincent's University Hospital in Dublin. Stay well. Declan Parr, the defence analyst, is with us as well. Declan, how much can we actually shut down our borders by to maintain the greatest possible defence about more people coming in, perhaps bringing COVID-19 in with them?
Well, I think, Matt, most people would accept that normal travel has been suspended. So the only things that should be coming through our borders now are essential goods and personnel associated with that. And in that kind of a manner, it's much easier to reduce contact and to track such people. The idea of shutting the borders down completely is not really doable in this country. We're an island nation. There are key goods that we have to export that people are depending on, such as pharmaceuticals to the US at the moment. And there are key goods that we depend on. And I think the medical experts have been to the fore in saying that. There's also another aspect to this, and just in terms of what the previous speakers were talking about in terms of the border with the North. We have a limited capacity to do that. I mean, our security forces are going to be under as much pressure as our health services are at the moment, as it stands, because of their expanded role in providing social support. And certainly we do not have the defence capability to seal off the border at this point in time for a sustained period and support on Garda Síochána and support the civil authority. And we have to be realistic about that. The reduction in force that has taken place, so the chickens are coming home to roost about that. Having said that, though, I think if we obsess about borders, we might miss the key thing. There's a lot of key things from a security point of view that need to be done at this point in time, and that may need to be added to over the current period. And we have to be realistic about the capacity of on Garda Síochána and the defence forces in doing that, and use them wisely.
Declan, one other thing I want to ask you about. I believe you have a strong opinion in relation to those people who are worrying about the state exams going ahead in June or not. A lot of people, well, maybe if they're writing off the junior cert at this stage, still want students to be able to do the leaving cert and are concerned about the implications for entering third level institutions in the autumn. What do you believe, what priority should be given to all of that?
I believe that should be shoved down the list. Let me put it to you this way, from two perspectives. One is the decision makers at the top of this, and in a form of crisis management like this, those who are at the very top of the command chain have a lot of pressure at the moment on them, and they have to deal with a lot of important decisions. If we include onto their plate of decisions additional things like this and demands, it could interfere with their capacity for more enhanced decision-making. We could be interfering with the efficacy of the decision-making. So things like exams, whether it's the leaving cert, whether it's third-level institutions or whatever else, I think most of the third-level students or institutions are on top of their game at the moment with regards to that. They're luxuries at this point in time. We put them back, we postpone them, and we deal with them then when we can. We don't expect our decision-makers to have to deal with that as a priority in terms of responding to public disquiet. Preservation of life is the priority. Preservation then of the economy and people's livelihoods, or getting money to people as they need it, and so on down the chain. And if I could add something else, I think when we come under pressure like this, we can lose sight of key things and key mechanisms that we have at our disposal. And what I'm getting at here is, Matt, it was something that struck me after I was talking to your producer earlier today. Are we, if we put too much pressure on decision makers, they resort to ad hoc means. And I've been surprised at the moment that in all this crisis, we haven't heard or seen reference to mechanisms that were set up for emergencies. I've heard no reference to the National Emergency Coordination Group, the NEC, that was set up to allow for joint interagency planning and decision-making during extreme weather events, where you would have elements of local government and various other bodies, such as the Garda Síochána, the Defence Forces, and the government, make joint decision-making. And as I said, if we overload the policymakers and decision-makers, they can lose sight of using mechanisms that already exist with good purpose.
OK, thank you very much, Declan Power, from with us here on The Last Word of Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.